And now your speaker is David Hayes Profater.
Today's question for consideration on this edition of Inquiry is this: what is the church? Well, granted, that's a short question, but yet it's one that could be answered with 10,000 words and still not be given comment on the basis of all that the Holy Spirit reveals about her. We assign the church reference by a pronoun denoting the feminine gender. In brief, this is because John, in his Revelation, described the church as the bride of Christ at the 21st chapter. And also, Paul the Apostle took note at Ephesians 5 that the subjection of the church to Christ could be likened to the subjection of a woman to her husband. While all of this is true, let's look back into prophecy and discover a few things about the church. At Isaiah 2, the prophet of old began at the second verse with these words, "And it shall come to pass at the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Again at the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 6, Isaiah says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order and to establish it with judgment and with justice henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." From these passages, we can glean several thoughts as to what the church was intended to be in the plan of God. First of all, the establishment of the church would come in the last days. Many have a misconception of what the last days are. It's widely thought that the last days refers literally to the last few days the earth and the standard of time shall exist. While the end of time may well be only shortly to occur, the expression last days doesn't necessarily mean this. The last days came into being with the establishment of the church on the day of Pentecost in AD 33, and we have been living in the last days, that is, the last dispensation of time as regards God's relationship with men, ever since. Further, we find that the church would be composed of persons of all nations, denoting the worldwide mission of the church. We learn also from this prophecy that God would make his will made known through and by the church, and that the beginning of the church would be at Jerusalem. The latter of these several truths is borne out in such passages as Mark 16:16, where Christ calls for the preaching of the gospel in all the world, Ephesians 3:10, where Paul shows that only the church would be relied upon by Christ as a dispenser for his divine truth, and the text of the first two chapters of Acts, where the church was given birth at Jerusalem. In all of these cases, we can see that the church is people, without regard to facility. The church is composed of people, its mission is performed by people, and its mission is people. Further, though, Isaiah taught that the church would be headed by Jesus Christ as its governor, and only he would be its standard of government, judgment, and justice. So in addition to knowledge that the church is people, we learn also that the church is headed only by Christ. Coupled with these truths is the fact that the church is the community of the saved. At Ephesians 1:3, Paul taught that all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, then there are no spiritual blessings outside Christ. Further, Ephesians 1:22-23 teaches us that the church is the body of Christ, with the thought added that Christ is its head. When one considers that Isaiah prophesied that Christ would serve as the head of this government, these thoughts coincide one with another. To be in Christ is to be in the church, subject to him as head of it. One cannot be in Christ without being in the church, nor can he be in the church without being in Christ. Still further, he cannot enjoy any of the privileges connected therewith without denouncing all human creeds in favor of the will of Christ alone. For he, you see, is the sole head of the church. The church is the kingdom for which arrival the Lord prayed at Matthew 6. So to sum up the number possible in a limited amount of time, The church is the body of obedient believers over whom Christ is the sole head and governor. Only the church is subject to the benefits of the law of God, and it is for the church that the Lord will come in the last day.